Ellie Weber, Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock sharp, okay. Mitzvot in Sefer Bereishis.
Yeah, so a break from the usual Sefer Mitzvot that we do for two reasons. One is, I don't really want to get in the middle of anything because I'm going to miss the next 2 weeks. But the second is, there are no Mitzvot in Sefer Bereishis, and yet there are. They're not counted. The general rule is, let's start like this. What's the first Rashi in the Torah? The first Rashi in the Torah asks the famous question, why doesn't the Torah start from HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem in Yitzias Mitzrayim? Because that's the first mitzvah in the Torah. Mr. Weiser is, of course, true that it says Pru Urvu, but we have other sources for Pru Urvu, and it says Bris Milah, but we have other sources for Bris Milah. Generally speaking, we don't think of Sefer Bereishis, correctly so, we don't think of Sefer Bereishis as a Sefer of mitzvot. And yet, Mr. Wise is also correct, when you think about it, there are mitzvot in Sefer Bereishis, and you know they're somehow downplayed. And what I want to talk about today is there are two types of mitzvot in Sefer Bereishis. So one would be things like, I don't know, Pru Urvu. Let's say this way. If I asked you, what are the things we learn? What are the halachos that we learn from Sefer Bereishis? What would you say?
Visiting the sick.
What?
Visiting the sick.
Burying the avos.
All their midot.
Right, so you say the avos. So they daven shachris, they daven mincha, they daven mariv, you know. Yaakov, you know, didn't eat gid hanasha because of that story, right? I think that that's where we would go. And if you look, the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, in the first source, the ninth parak, the first halacha, sort of, this is the Rambam, he's working towards Taryag Mitzvah. So he says, listen, I gotta tell you, here's how it works. Al shisha dvarim nitztava Adam Harishon. It's just interesting history. Adam Harishon got six commandments, I don't know, six mitzvahs. What are they? Avodah Zarah, Birchas Hashem, you know, cursing God, Shvichus Damim, Gilui Arayos, Va'al HaGezel, Va'al HaDinim.
The Bnei Noach.
Yes. We call them Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, although there's only six right now. But the way the Drasha is in the Gemara, it's a strange thing that we call them Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. We think six of them were already given to Adam HaRishon. The seventh is Avram in Achai, was given to Noach, and that became Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. I think it's called Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach because the phrase Bnei Noach distinguishes from like Bnei Avraham.
And how do we know that they were given to Adam HaRishon?
Because that's a drasha. There's a drasha on the psukim. Okay? So the six were given, and again, because Bnei Adam is everybody, but Bnei Noach, that's just the phrase that's used. Okay? So we have these six, and they're six pretty important ones. And now the Rambam kind of fudges it. He says, "Afal pi shekulam hein kabbalah biyadeinu mimoshe rabbeinu." Even though we received all of these mitzvot at Har Sinai from Moshe Rabbeinu, vehadat no telahen. Also, they're the kind of mitzvot that we probably would have thought of on our own, right? Stealing and sexual immorality. You know, these are things that people would have thought of on their own. Nevertheless, Michlal Divrei Torah Yira'eh Shal Elu Nitztaveh. These were specific commandments to Adam HaRishon. Hosif L'Noach Eiver Min HaChai. Right, why does Noach have the mitzvah of Eiver Min HaChai and not Adam HaRishon? Adam HaRishon was a vegetarian. Right, it was only after the Mabul that God permitted the slaughter of animals, and that's when he did that, he prohibited Avram in Achai. So that gives us Nimtzu Sheva Mitzvot. Okay? That means there are seven mitzvot. Now, V'chein haya hadavar b'chol ha'olam ad Avraham. And so it continued from Noach till Avraham. Ba'Avraham, Avraham shows up, V'nitztava yeter al elu b'mila. Now he gets the mitzvah of Bris Mila. V'hu hitpalel shacharit. This is an interesting phrasing. He established shachris. V'yitzchak hifrish ma'aser. Right? Yitzchak gave ma'aser. V'hosif tfila acharet lifnot hayom, which we call mencha. V'yakov hosif yid hanoshe. Vihit palel arvit. And Yaakov added another one, and then the Rambam continues that this continued until we got, 613 mitzvot. Okay? So the first thing you see is there were, in fact, commandments that existed and that we got in Sefer Bereishis, and there were things that the Avos did, in addition to the values and the ethics. There are things that the Avos did that presumably, constitute some form of halachic precedent. But it's not really true, because the Rambam thinks that all of this, not that it was wiped away, but everything we do because we got it at Har Sinai, not necessarily because it was done beforehand. But nevertheless, this is one group of mitzvot that you see in Sefer Bereishis, things that either the Avos were commanded or that they did that we copied. But there's a completely different set of mitzvot, and it's strange, and you wouldn't have thought of it, but there's one in this week's parsha, and if we start with that one, you'll see what I'm talking about. Avram Avinu dies at the end of this week's parsha, and the pasuk says as follows: Vayhi acharei mot Avraham, vayivarech Elokim et Yitzchak b'no, vayeshev Yitzchakim be'er lachayroi. Avraham dies, God comes and blesses Yitzchak, and Yitzchak lives in be'er lachayroi. And Rashi, quoting the Gemara and an accepted position in Chazal, says, Vahi acharei mot Avraham vayivarech. It's not a regular bracha. Nichamu tanchumei avelim. God was kiviyachol menachem avel Yitzchak. Okay? That, of course, is a mitzvah. Right? We have a mitzvah of nichum avelim. But there are other
examples.
Huh? No, it's not. Well, it's a machlokis. We'll get to it in the end. Let's assume for now you caught me. I said mitzvah. Okay, mitzvah derabanan. Okay, you got me. Fine.
God is doing mitzvah
derabanan. Oh, look who came late. Look who came late. Well, right away.
No, but also if it's in the Torah, why wouldn't it be?
Hang on. So it's 9 o'clock. Obviously, you just got here. 9 o'clock. We have time. Let's work this out. Okay? These are all fair points. Now, it's not me who thought of this, it's the Gemara. Let's do this Gemara in Sota Yudalad Amal Alf, a very famous Gemara, source number 3. And you'll see something interesting, almost a theme. Va'amar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina, Mai Dichsiv Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teleichu. What does it mean the Pasuk says in Akev, you should walk after God? How do you walk after God? Could you, literally, even figuratively, walk with the Shekhinah? God is an all-consuming fire. Says the Gemara. Now, it doesn't mean walk after God or close to God. What it means is to walk after the, how would we translate midot?
Attributes.
Wisdom.
Yeah. Attributes, good, character traits, maybe actions. Let's see. So how does this work? Third line. The Gemara gives us examples of things that God does that we could do. Mahu malbish arumim. This goes back to Sefer Bereishis. Just like he clothes the naked. Dichsiv vayas Hashem Elokim la'adam uli'ishto kotnot or vayal bishem. Right, if you recall, after they ate from the Eitz Hadat, so they realized that they were naked and they covered themselves. So then God made them clothes. The pasuk says, "Vayal bishem." Af atah says the Gemara, "Halbeish arumim." Right, if you see that God did this thing, that God, clothes the naked, so you should clothe the naked. I don't really think it means you should run around diapering babies. I think it means the idea is that you should help people who don't have enough. You could understand it more broadly. But again, interestingly, the Gemara picks as an example of following God's midot, this example that he did for Adam and Chava, and that he closed
this,
them.
This, in a serious vein, we always look at things seemingly that we wanted to pick and choose. He also threw them out of the garden.
Yes.
Well, so why
yes,
are we selective?
You're right, and perhaps you should have to split the Red Sea every day, because that's what God did.
No, but that's supernatural. This is natural.
So it's obvious. No, throwing somebody out of the Garden of Eden is supernatural, just like we don't think you should create the world. We got to, of course you pick and choose, and I want to talk about picking and choosing, but the whole conversation can only take place in the context of what human beings can do. It's God doing human things, not God being God, because obviously, now, it, you know, aside from trying to annoy me, buried in what you said is something true, which is being godlike, you can never really be godlike.
Right.
All you could do is pick and choose, and there's no question, let's say this, if you didn't know anything, and I told you, the pasuk says be godlike, the first thing you would think of wouldn't be clothing the naked, right? It might be, I for me it would probably be, because I don't, how could I imitate God? It would be like character traits. I would say, you know, God is gracious, God is forgiving, I should try to be, right?
Because so, very angry.
So the Gemara,
I was going to say,
don't be so negative, we'll get there. So the Gemara, what I'm pointing at is that the Gemara chooses not to look at, and this you'll see, it's a machlokas, it's something I want to talk about. The Gemara does not choose to look at character traits of God, for whatever reason. Here the Gemara says, you want to be godlike? Let me give you examples. The first one, again, which nobody would have picked, is being malbisha rumem. Watch. Next one. Fourth line. End of the fourth line. Hakadosh Baruch Hu biker cholim. God visits the sick, or he visited the sick. Dichsiv. After Avram Avinu had a bris milah, vayera elav Hashem be'elonei mamre, we understand that to be bikur cholim, afata baker cholim, so you too should visit the sick. Hakadosh Baruch Hu nichem avelim, God comforts the mourners. Dichsiv, vahi achare mot Avraham, the pasuk we read a minute ago. Vayivarech Elohim et Yitzchak bino, this week's parasha, that God was menachem avel. Yitzchak, Afata nachem avelim. You too should be menachem avel. So, by the way, so why did I want to talk about this? Because those three examples are all in Sefer Bereishis. Okay, and then just the last one, which is at the very end of the Torah. Hakadosh Baruch Hu kover meitim. God buries the dead. Dichtiv vayikvor oto bagai, that God buried Moshe. Afata kvor meitim. You too should bury the dead. Okay, so we could have long discussions about how, you know, there are only four examples of the Gemara. Three of them come from Sefer Bereishis. One of them is in Zos HaBracha. There wasn't anything that God did in between, right? There's no question there's some picking and choosing going on. But to me, the interesting thing is, well, we'll do a few things. First, Mr. Weiser's question. Wait, if God did this, and it's a pasuk in the Torah, so how could it not be a mitzvah d'oraisa? Right?
Well, it's not a command that you should do it, like other mitzvahs, that you should do.
Okay, so that's a good answer. There may be other answers. It's an interesting, you know, you could say that something is like a d'oraisa concept, but not a d'oraisa mitzvah, right? Like, it matters very much that God did this. Okay, it's not in the Tariq mitzvahs for any one of a number of technical reasons, but it matters very much that God did this. But two points. First is, this is, you know, how do I be like God? I copy God's actions. And I would add to that, I copy God's actions that are very, very accessible and human. Namely, dressing people, visiting the sick, comforting mourners, and burying. Right? There's no question, you don't have to be God to do any of these things. Yes?
The positives, the negatives of God, God punishes.
Yeah, that's what Bruce said.
Huh?
That's what Bruce said. That God also does better. Right. So my simple answer, we'll come back to it, my simple answer is, when God is doing God-like things, that's not what we're copying, because we're not God. When God is doing human things, those are the things that we copy. I really think that that's right.
Positive things.
Huh?
You just positive things, no negative things.
That's what it sounds like.
Listen, it would be hard to think of, and you could correct me, I can't think of a negative human thing that God does in the Torah. You're right, he punishes, he drowns the midstream, he does plagues, but, like, you know, he doesn't, you know, not give you dinner. Right? And, like, the negative things that God does in Chumash are God-like negative things.
No, but I think the first source you brought about the six mitzvahs,
right?
Sheva mitzvot,
right?
The number six was establishing a judicial system.
Right.
So it was our way of punishing as human beings is to go through the courts.
Correct, but that's a direct commandment.
Meaning, but we don't get up in the morning and just decide to punish. That's not within our
Correct. We were specifically commanded by God. I'm not saying we never do God-like things. I'm saying if we want to learn, we want to learn from God's actions, either we're specifically commanded to do them, or we learn from the things that God does that are completely human. And not, again, nobody thinks you have to try to split the sea, because God split the sea. Okay, because that's a God-like thing. The same thing shows up, by the way, in the famous Medrash between, there's a discussion between Rabbi Akiva and Turnus Rufus HaRasha. And Turnus Rufus says to Rabbi Akiva, what's better, God's actions or man's actions? And Rabbi Akiva says man's actions. And Turnus Rufus says, well, that's ridiculous. You know, God created the world. So Rabbi Akiva says, no, you know, I mean, with respect to things that we could do and God could do, right? Because of course, we can't be godlike. Okay.
We do something that specifically says Shabbat.
Yeah.
Yom Shvi. God, because God stopped in the.
Yes, but we're specific.
We do it the same thing.
We do the same thing, but not because God. We do the same thing, but we're specifically.
We're
specifically commanded to do it. The reason is because God rested. But we don't keep Shabbos in just an imitation of God. We keep Shabbos because God commanded us to keep Shabbos as an imitation of Him. Okay. So much for this Gemara. But there was another way to do this. And I think that's the way that most people here would have thought of. Not dressing the naked and these things, but being like God means being godlike in my character traits. And that's the next source. That's the Sifrei in number 4. The Sifrei says, what does it mean, lalet b'chol drachav, to copy all of his ways, to walk in his footsteps? Elu hein darkei makom. These are the ways of God. Hashem Kel Rachum Vechanon. He says the Torah describes what God is, who God is. V'hayan, the pasuk says in Yov, Ayak Kol Hashem Yikarei B'Shem Hashem Yimaleit V'chiheach Efshalo La'adam Likro B'Shmo Shel Makom. What does it mean to call in God's name? God doesn't have a name. What does that mean? Ella, and how would that save you? Ella Nikra Hamakom Rachum. God is called merciful. Afata Heye Rachum. You too should be merciful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Chanun. God is called gracious. Afata Haye Chanun. You too should be gracious. Shene'emar Chanun V'Rachum Hashem Va'ose Matnot Chinam. Nikra HaMakom Tzadik. God is called a tzadik. Where it says Ki Tzadik Hashem Tzidkot Ohev Afata Haye Tzadik. Nikra HaMakom Chasid. Let's be clear, chassid in this context does not have anything to do with wearing a strimal or a bekisha. It means being, you know, how would you translate chassid?
Righteous.
Right, super righteous, okay? A chassid? Maybe. Okay, but...
That's where you get super from, lifnei, right?
Well, okay. The point here is, there's nothing about the actions of God. All you have here are the character traits of God. Okay? It doesn't say that God does this, so you should do this. It says God is this, so you should be this.
Right.
Now, again, we'll ignore Bruce's question, although it sits out there, which is, but God is also a Kael Nokeim. Sometimes a Kael Zoeim. He gets angry, right? Why are we not supposed to... I think intuitively we understand that God does that because he has to do that in his godlike capacity. But in a perfect world, you know, although, let's be honest, some of the midot, and this is a fair point to make, some of the midot are inconsistent, right? If you're rachum, so you're not really just, because you're letting the guy off the hook, right? You know, merciful is a wonderful character trait, but if you're the victim of a crime, you don't want to appear in front of a merciful judge because you want the guy to be punished. So there are, and it's often the case, you know, when you're omni-everything, it doesn't really work. The definitions don't work, because if you're all merciful, then you're not all just. And if you're all just, you're not all merciful. And if you're all honest, then you're not, you know, cutting people slack. And if you're cutting people, you know, some of these terms are not completely consistent. They might be consistent in God, But for human beings, it's hard to, you know, and we know it for ourselves. You love the guy who's kind to everybody. But when somebody upsets you, he's not the guy you go to, because he's going to just explain to you why you should take it. You want to, you know what I mean? We all know that in our lives.
When they say he's ish milchama, does that mean he's not a pacifist? And he's not a pacifist.
In that context, presumably not.
He doesn't believe in turning the other cheek.
Is that a Jew? Who said that? I heard that turning the other cheek one time.
It was a Jew.
Is it in Yeshayahu? Where does that come from? I can't remember. So no, I believe in my. I believe that God believes in turning the other cheek sometimes.
Sure, you said cut slack.
Okay, well, right.
When you say the word mitzvot, you know, in Bereishit, mitzvah is like a commandment, and we're discussing character traits and good ideas and halachas, maybe. I'm not sure that we call them mitzvot, as opposed to tayyag, which are mitzvot. And there are three in Bereishit.
There's
and
no limit. You're mitzvot. Picking on me for the title I gave this year?
Well, you're going to get mitzvot, and I'm wondering if we should call it a mitzvot.
Well, one second. So now, this is the point I'm trying to make. This is a mitzvah. It's just not the mitzvah that we think of. V'halachta b'drachav, I think we did it 2 years ago. It's number 8. It's a mitzvah saseh min haTorah. The question is, what content do you give it? Mm-hmm. Right? So the point I want to make now is, according to at least the first Gemara we saw in Sota, when we're told to be God, when we're commanded to be godlike, one of the Taryag mitzvot, and we go, what does that mean? Well, bizarrely, one of the places we look is Sefer Bereishit.
And where are we commanded to be godlike? Where is it?
It's exactly in source number 5,
which we
on your sheet,
yet.
Which we're about to do, because you're making me do things when I'm not ready to do them. Look at source number 5. Says the Rambam, "V'hamitzvah hashminit he shetzivanu lihidamot bo yitale." Now he adds words that aren't there. Lefi yecholteinu, we are commanded lihidamot to God, to be similar, to be godlike, right? You know, to be in like in the Justice League or whatever. What's the other superhero thing? Avengers. Okay, right.
X-Men.
So you want to be, you know, you want to be godlike. Now the Rambam says lefi yecholteinu, which he made up, but it's obviously true, right? I assume God could fly. I assume God is bulletproof. But I don't jump off the roof, generally speaking, trying to be godlike.
His name is Mark.
Because Superman did.
Because it's. That was when he was Christopher Reeves. Not Christopher Reeves.
That was the first guy.
Come on. You don't know his name?
Clark Kent was.
It's embarrassing for all of us. Nobody remembers? I can't think of it now either, but I would know it. George Reeves?
George Reeves.
Hello.
Okay. He was in the first two.
A lot of people think that my knowledge is limited to Rambam. No, I know all about Superman. Okay.
Also, once you say godlike, you get in the room that you didn't want to do.
V'hu amaro. You ask where the mitzvah is. Yeah. The pasuk says in Kisova, v'halachta bidrachav. It's a pasuk in the Torah. And not only in one place. Ukvar kafal tzivui zev amar lalechet b'chol dirachav. Right? To walk in all his ways. Uba b'feirush zeh. And what's the explanation? So watch. The Rambam, we've seen two approaches. The Rambam could have quoted what? He could quote the Gemara in Sota that says, he clothes the naked, he visits the sick, he comforts the mourners, he buries the dead, right? Or he could quote the Sifrei, which is all about he is merciful, he is gracious, he is, okay? So the Rambam cheats and does the following. He says, Ukvar kafal tzivu. Okay, lalechas b'chol drachavs. End of the second line. Uba b'feirush zeh. Ma hakadosh baruch hu nikra rachum. Afata hayei rachum. Ma hakadosh baruch hu nikra chanun. Afata hayei chanun. Ma hakadosh baruch hu nikra tzadik. Afata hayei tzadik. Ma hakadosh baruch hu nikra chasid. Afata hayei chasid. V'ze lashon sifrei. Okay. So the first thing Rambam does is clearly ignore the Gemara. And I think do what we would have done. What does it mean to be godlike? It doesn't mean to imitate God's actions. It means to try to adopt the character traits by which God is, you know, let's say the good character traits by which God is described. Ukvar nichpala tzivuy hazeh b'lashon acher, says Rambam, it also exists in another pasuk in the Torah, v'amar in Parshas Re'eh, flip over, acharei Hashem alokechem teilechu. Another Rambam says, oh, but I shouldn't mislead you. Uba b'peirush gam kein, there's another peirush in a Gemara in Sota, which we saw. She'in yano lihidamot b'pe'ulot hatovot v'hamidot hachashuvot. So now he fudges it. He says, oh, there's a Gemara that says you should copy him in his actions and in his midot, even though the Gemara doesn't really say the midot. She'yituar b'hem akel yitale al tzad hamashal yitale al hakol ilui rav. Interestingly, the Rambam says al tzad hamashal. He was worried for like anthropomorphism, so you might think that God really physically, you know, goes to visit. So he says it's explained to you outside of Mashal. But the sense you get from the Rambam is the real way that you imitate God is by adopting God's character traits. There's also a Gemara that says another way to do it is by actually, you know, copying God's actions. Okay? So let's review. We started with this idea that, you know, what are the mitzvos in Sefer Bereishis? So we thought of them as regular mitzvos, Pruvu and Bris Milah and Shachris Mincha and Marv, and they're there. But it turns out there's a whole other set. The whole other set has to do not with what man does. You know, we think, I would have thought, that one of the lessons you learn from Sefer Bereishis, and it's true, is I watch how the avos behave, and I can learn from there. Which is why, for example, whenever I go on vacation with my wife, when we check in, we claim we're brother and sister. You know, because...
And you go to the same inn. Like,
because you never know. You never know.
Right.
And also, well, because it never works.
I know you're
it is the single worst idea in Sefer Bereishis.
You made millions of dollars.
Why don't
twice.
We go?
Do
why
mean?
Don't we
right.
pretend we're brother and sister?
It's
the result
answer.
Always is you get kidnapped.
It was a great idea. That's where he made his money.
He did it twice.
Okay, both of you leave the room. Okay? Fine. Okay? So you would have thought that. You would have thought that, but in the end, that's not what happens. Instead, we seem to be more focused on God's actions. Okay? Which no one would have guessed. You know, God does this, God does that, God does that, all in Sefer Bereishis. Are those separate mitzvahs? Yes, it turns out that those fall under the rubric of imitating God. How do I know how to imitate God? By these actions that he does primarily in Sefer Bereishis. Okay? So there's a kind of a dichotomy in the way you can imitate God. I would say, the way I would say it is, there's the doing and there's the being. Right? I could just do God-like things, or I could actually try to be like God. That seems to be kind of a dichotomy that the Rambam tries to resolve by sticking them all in the same mitzvah. But let's take a break from this for a second.
And doing is possible for humans, but being is not possible for humans.
Well, you could be merciful, couldn't you?
And that's the extent that God is merciful.
Right.
Right. I assume that when I'm Menachem Avel, I also don't do it as well as God does it. But, you know, I think v'halachta bidrachav and trying to be godlike, it's understood. It's not actually being godlike. We think being godlike is impossible. Right? It's an interesting thing. I once heard my Rebbe Reb Bick make this point. It's really, it's such a deep point, but it's such a good point. He says, you know, what's the goal of a Jew? The goal of a Jew is to be godlike. Except in Judaism, a human being can never be godlike. In our religion, it's impossible. So, you know, we set for ourselves a goal that by definition is impossible to achieve. Yeah, and that's our life. The goal in life really is, okay, here's the gap between me and God, and my goal in life is to reduce that gap. I'll never get there because by definition it's impossible for me to get there. It's prohibited for me to get there. But that doesn't, it's bizarre, that doesn't mean I can't try.
A man's reach should exceed his grasp, but what's a heaven for?
Frank Sinatra song.
Robert yeah. Browning.
Okay. I knew it was something in popular culture. Okay, fine. So maybe that has something to do with what I'm talking about, maybe not. But probably it does.
You get a brownie point for it.
Okay. I suddenly say, why do I put up with this? Okay.
It's such a small room.
You know,
it's more difficult.
I have the internet. There are things I could be doing now. Okay, fine. Let's leave that. And now let's ask ourselves, let's look at, really, I would do the whole paragraph, it's just too long. The Rambam's famous description of what it means to try to, you know, moderate human character traits and what's proper behavior. Okay, it's famous, but it's worth reading inside in the Rambam because there are interesting things to see. So the Rambam Hilchos Deos, again, I would tell you, like, if you want to sit around and read a great perek in the Rambam, read all of Hilchos, you know, the perek Alpha in Hilchos Deos. But the Rambam basically makes a pitch for what people refer to as the Shvil HaZahav, or the middle path. Okay? We'll have to ultimately figure out, by the way, if you're supposed to be godlike, where's God in the middle? You know, is God really in the middle path? But let's see. Says the Rambam, HaDerech HaYishara Hi Mida Beinonit Shebechol Deya V'Deya Mikol HaDeyot Sheyesh Lo LaAdam. Says the Rambam, the proper path to take in human behavior is the midpoint between each extreme of human behavior or human characteristics. V'hi HaDeya Shehi Rechoka Mishtei HaKtzavot Richuk Shaveh Ve'eina Krova Lo Lezo V'lo Lezo. Says the Rambam, you know, you have, you know, arrogance and absolute humility, right? I'm a zero, I'm the greatest person in the world. Says the Rambam, the proper way to be is the one that's farthest from this and farthest from that. It means smack in the middle. Okay? That, says the Rambam, you want to know how to behave? That's how you should behave. It's end of the second line, Lefikach, therefore. Tzivu chachamim harishonim, Shehei Adam Sam Deotav Tamid. Person should kind of not estimate, but what's the word I'm looking for? Measure, let's say. Calibrate, that's a better word, thank you very much. You're welcome. Deotav Tamid, you know, his thoughts, his character traits. Umishaer Otam, and estimate them or measure them. Umechavein Otam Biderecha Emtzait Kidei Shehei Shalem Bigufo. That's how you become a complete person. Now he tells you, Ketzad. The Rambam writes a practical sefer. He's not just talking in platitudes. Ketzad. Lo yehe ba'al chema noach lichos. He shouldn't be a hothead who you know, immediately loses his temper. But similarly, says the Rambam, v'lo kameit she'eino margish. But he also shouldn't be the kind of person, you know, when you insult him, it doesn't register. He doesn't care. He doesn't get hurt. He should. Says the Rambam, Ela Beinoni. You should be in between. How does this work? Lo yichos, don't get angry. Elo al davar gadol shera'uy lichos alav. The Rambam doesn't say never get angry. He says don't get angry unless it's the kind of thing for which you're supposed to genuinely get angry. Kidei shelo ya'aseh kiyotze bo pam acheret. It's interesting. What's the kind of thing, according to the Rambam, that you should get angry about? The answer is the kind of thing that you don't want to happen again. He says it very clearly, right? What do you get angry about? Shelo ya'aseh kiyotze bo pam acheret. That's what you get angry about. So it's really an interesting. It means the Rambam thinks you should get angry if there's a constructive purpose in it, right? You should get angry at your kids because. But says the Rambam, if it's not the kind of thing that could happen again, or this kind of, the person isn't going to listen to you, you're not going to be able to prevent it, then not. But interesting, okay? So the Rambam says, it's not good to teach yourself to never care. Right? You know, take the easiest example. There are people who shush in shul, right? And there are people, you know, who don't shush. I think the Rambam would say, well, you have to ask yourself, you know, why are you shushing? If you're shushing because it's annoying to you, maybe you should learn to just put up with it. But if you really feel like the decorum in the I'm just, right? It's not, you're not supposed to be, I think the Rambam would say, if you're all or nothing, you're not acting properly. If you're constantly shushing or you never shush, and maybe shushing is not the best example.
It's also godlike. It says, Mechura, Mechoro, Hashem.
You're right. God does get angry, but.
Is he talking about righteous anger?
What do you mean by righteous anger?
Anger that's stimulated by by the violation of a righteous...
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Rambam would say, you know, if you didn't get maftir when you wanted it, right? My guess is, again, I don't really know. I don't want to put words in the Rambam's mouth. But my guess is, you know, that's not worthy of anger. But inappropriate behavior, you know, probably is worthy of anger. Okay? But the point is, again, the chiddush is, the Rambam doesn't say never get angry. The Rambam doesn't say never get bothered by something. The Rambam doesn't say don't have an ego. But he says you have to calibrate it.
Turn the other cheek, not turn the other cheek.
It's the opposite.
That's what I said. No, I think the Rambam would say, you know, turn the other cheek sometimes. Or I think the Rambam would say, turn the other cheek most of the time. But not every time. Because sometimes, you know, there's a wrong that you can correct. Okay? And even if you're the victim of that wrong, fine. That's the middle path. Here's another great example. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, sixth line down towards the end. V'chein, lo yitaveh, so you think you shouldn't have any desires. He says, no, not that you shouldn't have any desires. Lo yitaveh, ela lidvarim shehaguf tzarich lahem. V'ief shar lihiot bezulatan. The Rambam says, you can desire physical things, but the physical things that you desire should be the things that you need. Kinyan shenemar tzadik ochel esova nafsho, a tzadik each because he needs to be healthy. V'chein lo yihye amal ba'asko ela lahasig davar shetzarich lo lechaye sha'a, says the Rambam. And I won't editorialize, but the Rambam says, yeah, a person has to go to work, but you know, go to work to make the money that you need. If you're working 18 hours a day because you need another $5 million, I think the Rambam would say that's not calibrating properly. That, you know, okay. Kinyan shenemar tov ma'at letzadik. Tzadik doesn't need that much. V'lo yikpotz yado biyoter. Don't be a miser when people ask you for money. But listen to this. V'lo yifazer mamono. But you're not supposed to spend all your money on stucca and have your kids, you know, not have money. Ela no taint stucca kefi misat yado. Says the Rambam, you give tzedaka commensurate with your wealth. You lend money, you know. I think the Rambam would say, you come first. Almost done. V'lo yehe meholal v'socheik, you shouldn't be a clown. V'lo atzei v'onein, but you shouldn't be a depressive personality. Ela sameach kol yamav b'nachat b'seva panim yafot. I think the Rambam would say, you know, try to be upbeat. Try to smile. V'chein shar deotav, and all other character traits. V'derech zohi derech ha-chachamim, this is the path of wise people. Kol adam she deotav deot beinoniot memutzaot nikra chacham. Says the Rambam, if you're an average, doesn't really mean, if you're average, you're a chacham. Which he means, if you're not crazy on one side or crazy on the other side, you're doing it properly.
It's okay. Interesting that this is not only sort of very anti-Christian.
Why is it anti-Christian? Just because
of
the turning of the
cheek? I don't think he was writing it against the Christians specifically.
I don't think he cared much about Christians, yeah.
Yeah, but it is against what we perceive as Christian theology, which is a holy man has to be, he has to turn the other cheek.
He has to be an ascetic, yeah.
Okay. He has to write it.
Right.
So it's not only that. He's also anti-Hasidic. Totally.
He never met a chassid. What do you mean?
What
does that mean?
He didn't know what was going to happen in the 18th century.
Right. But why is it chassidim?
Because there are all these stories of Rabbeim that gave away tzedakah and lived in abject poverty rather than feeding their kids, for instance.
Okay. I think the Rambam, you know, was a rationalist, and I think the Rambam thought, you know, let's admit it, one of our human weaknesses is that we feel best when we're extremists. You know, if I just give some staka, what does it mean? But if I give, you know, more than I can afford, now I'm saintly. You know, I tell my wife, listen, I get, you know, that money we were saving, you'll be so proud of me, I gave it to this guy, you know. But you know, it's true, it's a human weakness, but that's how we express it. When I'm an extremist, you know, then, and I think the Rambam would say, no, that's selfish.
Yeah.
You know, that's serving yourself. And I think it's classic Rambam. I think it's classic Rambam, and it's so 100% true within the Rambam, that if it's anti-Christian, he didn't know, he didn't care. He just, you know, he thought that that was obviously the case.
It's against stuff that's also perceived today. It's very popular to talk about all these.
Correct. And I think that the Rambam wouldn't support it. But there's one more halacha where maybe he shades things a little bit. Watch this. And maybe this would be melamed zchus on the people you're talking about, maybe not. Next halacha, says the Rambam. Umi shehu middak deik alatzmo biyoter. But let's say you really want to aspire to a higher level. Be more careful. V'yitrachek mideya beinonit ma'at litzad ze o litzad ze. You feel like the midpoint is not where you should be. You could be better than that. Okay? You feel like you're not a generous person, and you want to give more tzedakah than you're required to give because you think it'll be good for you. Says the Rambam, you could move a little bit to one side and not be at the midpoint. And if you do that, and you do it l'shem shemayim, zeh nikra chasid, ketzad. How does this work? Mi sheyitrachek migova halev ad hakatzeh ha'acharon, a person who's machmir on arrogance or haughtiness, and he wants to move all the way to the other side, v'yesh shafal ruach biyoter, and he wants to be really, really humble, nikra chasid. V'zoi midat chasidut. The Rambam thinks that's a good thing to do. V'im nitrachek ad ha'emtza bilvad v'yeh anav nikra chacham v'zoi midat chochma. Okay, one is a chasid, one is a chacham. They both seem pretty good to me. V'al derech zo shar kol adeyot. Okay, and on this basis, with respect to all deyot, if you feel like you need to move to one side because it's the right thing for you, it's good for your development, the Rambam thinks that makes you a chasid. V'chasidim harishonim, again, chasidim not being chasidim, but chasidim harishonim hayu matin deyot shalahem midercha emtzait kineged shteak tzavot. They would actually not be in the middle. Yesh deyashem matin oto kineged akatzeh ha'acharon, v'yesh deyashem matin oto kineged akatzeh harishon, v'zehu lifnim mishurat hadin. This is acting, more correctly than the din requires. And here's the line. Umitsuvin anu lalechet b'drachim ha'elu ha'beinonim v'heim ha'drachim ha'tovim v'ha'yisharim she'ne'mar v'halachta b'drachav. Says the Rambam, all of this is the mitzvah of v'halachta b'drachav, of imitating God, right? Trying to be in the middle and trying to, maybe move it a tiny bit to this side, a tiny bit to that side. Now, I'll ask the question you're all thinking. We never ever find God acting in the middle.
Just gonna ask,
right? We either find God being merciful, or wiping people out. Right? He's really, he's either making it rain so that the world grows and nature works, or he's making it rain so that the world is wiped out. Right? He's bringing stuff down from heaven to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He's bringing stuff down from heaven to give us food in the midbar. I think the answer is that we think of God as being in between those two things. It's true, in the Torah, he's either described as being on one extreme or the other extreme. But I think the idea you're supposed to get is that God really lives in the middle, except when he can't. It's almost like, in books, people never go to the bathroom. Okay, just admit it.
Same in the movies.
They never do. Why? Because that's a boring book. You don't really want to read about a person, going to the bathroom. It doesn't move the narrative along.
Unless something happens.
Move
there.
Okay, right. Of course. Let's put it this way. If you're reading a novel and a person goes to the bathroom, it matters for the plot.
Yeah, right.
Okay?
Okay.
So I think we look in the Torah, and Lahavdil, because I'm not comparing it to other books, but Lahavdil, the Torah gives us, the exciting things, the big things that happen, right? Avraham Avinu lived for 175 years. Of which we know a bunch of big stories, right? All the other days were all the other days, right? So I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the point is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't spend every day bringing plagues, doesn't spend every day making miracles. And the idea is, if you see him doing both, like I would say this, and then you go. if a guy in shul, you know, is always shushing, always yelling at people, then I think poorly of him, right? But I would be confused if the guy in shul who's always yelling at people is also like the kindest person in the world. And I'd probably think to myself, wow, you know, he's a thoughtful guy. And he really wants to be exceptionally kind and caring and supportive, except when he feels like it's bad for the community, and then he takes the other side. I think I would be really, really impressed by that behavior, and I think that's the idea behind God. We show, you know, presumably God would rather make it rain all the time than have a drought. But okay, he's God, and if we force his hand, there's a drought. But otherwise, he would like to. Yes?
I think that supports your first point, is that we're only focusing on things that humans can do.
Just wanted to say, you're the first person to ever say that.
Thank you. but not the godlike activity.
It's a godlike act. Agree with me.
Going against my point. But the things that we see in the Torah are the extremes that are only godlike, and that sets the stage for saying we're not either of those. We are only here in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Right. We don't kill people, even if they're deserving. You know, it's true. Okay, so here we come back to our point that the Rambam's explaining the character traits that make us godlike and how we could become godlike. And I think the Chiddush is that being godlike is acting in a way that we never read God. We never see in the Torah that God acted. But I think the implication is that this is how God acts every day. Unless, you know, he has to act otherwise. Presumably, God was having a good day, and the people of Sodom and Amor just annoyed him so much, you know, they wouldn't stop talking during laning, you know, and so he had to bring down, you know, it's some form of that, but...
We have that story from Bilam, that he knows the exact moment God is particularly angry, so either supporting Barry, and either maybe other times he's not like that. Except that moment.
Okay, there's this pasuk Kel Zoeim B'chol Yom, that there's a moment of anger for God every day.
We can shoot through a request, right?
Okay, it's a nice medrash. There's probably stuff there. Now, let's come back to this interesting thing. Remember, so we just focused on character traits of God that we want to be like. But remember where we started, the Gemara and Sota wasn't character traits, it was actual actions. Right? God buries, God clothes, God... So look at this really, really interesting Rambam. Number 7, the Rambam in Hilchos Avel, Perek Yud Dalet Halacha Aleph, a famous Rambam. And this will get back to Mr. Weiser's point. Okay, watch this. Says the Rambam, Mitzvat Aseh Shel Divrehem. It's a mitzvah midrabanan. Levaker Cholim, okay, to visit the sick, Ulenachem Avelim, Ulahotzi Hamait. Now the list gets longer, but at least some of the things on this list were things that God did in Sefer Bereishis that, you know, the Torah says God did, and in theory should have been mitzvot d'oraita because God did them. Okay, Ulahotzi Hamait, Ulahachnis Hakala, to help make a wedding, Ulahavot Arachim, to accompany guests, Ulahitasek B'chol Tzorkei Kfura, to do whatever you can with respect to the burial, laseta lakatef, to carry the casket, vilelech lefanav, to walk in front, vilispod, vilachbar, vilikvor, and to mourn, and to dig, and to bury, vichein lesameach hakala v'hakatan, to make the newlyweds happy, ulesadam b'chol tzarcheihem, to give them gifts. Says the Rambam, ve'elu hein gemilut chasadim shebigufo, these are actual physical acts of kindness that you could do, Shein lahem shiur, meaning there's no minimum, there's no maximum, anything you do. Now here's the line: Afa pi shekol mitzvot elum divrehem, even though they're all derabbanon, harehein bichlal ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. They all constitute or part of a mitzvah de'oraisa of ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, namely. Kol ha-divarim sha'ata rotzeh she'ya'asu otan l'cha acherim. Anything that you want other people to do to you, asei ata otan le'achicha b'torav mitzvot. You should do them to other people. Presumably, you would like people to come to your funeral. You would like people to visit you when you're sick. You would like people to come to your wedding. You should do it for other people. So the first thing you see, just in terms of halachic structure, is this bizarre thing. Each individual act is the mitzvah drabbana. Right? If I'm an acham aval, it's a mitzvah drabbanan. If I'm mevaker chola, it's a mitzvah drabbanan. But says the Rambam, it's also a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's also a mitzvah d'oraisa of v'yohavta l'recha kamocha. The individual act, as an act, has importance because it's a mitzvah drabbanan. But, if done properly, right, and if done with the right intention, and if done out of love, not only is it a mitzvah d'rabbanan of bikur cholim, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa of v'yahavta l'recha kamocha. You can have both at the same time. I would suggest that that model could be used as well for what we're talking about. Namely, even though the Rambam doesn't say it, and you could say to me, well, how come the Rambam doesn't say it? I don't know. But what if I said as follows? If you menachem aval somebody, so great. That's a mitzvah d'rabbanan of nichum aveilim. But if you do it because God does it, and because you want to be more godlike, then you could also get a mitzvah d'oraisa of a halachta bidrachav. Now, you'll say, somebody here is thinking, but doesn't that ruin it? Right? Because now I'm not doing it because, right? So I'm saying, so do it for both reasons. Get triple word score. You get a mitzvah d'rabbanan of visiting the sick, right? But you love the guy and you really care about him and you really, so now you get a mitzvah d'oraisa v'yahavta l'recha kamocha, but you love God and you want to be more godlike, and you just learned this gemara that God was menachem aval Yitzchak Avinu when Avraham died in this week's parasha, so do it for that also. The dichotomy between being and doing is false. Right, I've presented it as two ways to be godlike. You could copy his actions, or you could actually, you know, adapt his character traits. But what if it's the same? What if it's the same? What, let me try to finish. What if it's the same? Now let me go back to, I must have quoted this 10 times before, like my favorite Sefer Achinuch ever. But it's the key. Says the Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Tez Zayin, number 8. He says, Da. Ki ha'adam nif'al kefi pu'ulotav. A person is the sum total of his actions. V'libo v'chol machshivotav tamid achar ma'asav shu oseh b'hem. And who he is in his essence is simply follows his actions. Im tov v'imra. Good or bad. Again, we sometimes think, mistakenly according to the Sefer Achinuch, the world's greatest psychologist, that I'm this incredibly charitable guy. Just happens to be, you know, genuine poor people haven't come to my house in years. You know, but I think of myself as being charitable. Just, lemaisa, I don't give that much charity, right? I think of myself as a person who would always help somebody else out. It doesn't happen. Says the Sefer Achinuch, no. You either do it or you're not. Watch. Second line. Va'afilu rasha gamur bilvavo. V'chol yetze machshivot libo rak kol hayom. You're evil. You're evil through and through. All you think all day long is how much fun it would be to pull paws off of kittens. That's how evil you are. Okay? Im ye'ara rucho v'yasim hishtadluto v'asako b'hatmada b'torov mitzvot. If you evil person start doing good things, you start learning Torah, you start doing good things, v'afilu shelo l'shem shamayim. This is unbelievable. He thinks, even if you don't do it for proper motivation, I once had a bet with this guy at work who was not, he was Jewish, but, you know, completely irreligious, like, you know, as far away from it as anything. We had a bet on something, and if he won, I don't know, I had to run a marathon or something, I don't remember, but if I won, he had to keep Shabbos by Orthodox standards.
One Shabbat?
I know, it's ridiculous. Why would I have done that to a person? I was just trying to torture him, okay?
But why would you have run a marathon?
He wanted to torture you?
Anyway, the point is, the Chinuch says, if a person keeps Shabbos because he lost a bet, it won't matter. It will affect him. Even though every single time that Shabbos, he says, I'm not doing this because I believe in God, I'm doing this because I lost a bet. The Chinuch says, maybe, the Chinuch says it will affect him. Miyad yinatel atav, he'll become a better person. Ubekach ma'asav yamit ha'yetzahara. And his acts will slay the yetzahara. And here's the line, ki acharei ha'pe'ulot nimshachim ha'livavot. says the Chinuch, who you are is determined by your actions and not the reverse. We often think to ourselves, you know, well, when I feel it, then I'll do it, right? When I become more religious, that's when I'll go to Minyan three times a day. But till then, I'll be a faker. Says the Chinuch, no. If you go to Minyan three times a day, you'll be the kind of person that goes to Minyan three times a day. Why? Because you go to Minyan three times a day. It's as simple as that. Let's finish. Va'afilu im yihye adam tzadik kamur ulvavo yashar v'tamim. Chafetz b'torov mitzvot. He's the saintliest person. Im ulay yasok tamid b'dvarim shel dofi, kilu tomar derech mashal shehichricho amelech umino b'umanog ra'a. The king puts you in charge of his harem. You're a tzadik gamur, but now you're in charge of his harem. You're in charge of collecting taxes for the king, which is thought to be basically just stealing money from people. Be'emet im kol isko tamid kol hayom bo'to amunot. If this is what you do all day long, yashuv lizman min hazmanim mitzidkat libo liot rasha gamur. You'll become a bad person. Ki yadua hadavar be'emet shekol adam nif'al kefi pu'lotav. That every person is the sum total of his actions. Here's what I want to suggest. We had two different approaches to being godlike. One is copying God's actions. One is being like God, right? Doing and being. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, there's no difference. They're both supposed to lead to the same place. You do in order to be, and presumably, you know, you be in order to do. There's no such thing as a tzaddik, you know, who doesn't act like a tzaddik. And the reverse, the Chinuch says, there's no such thing as a faker. If you fake every single day, you're no longer faking. It's a psychological insight, but he thinks that that's true. And I think that that's why the Gemara, you know, Chazal present two ways to be godlike. But the answer is, they're not two ways. They both lead to the same result. Because if you be, but you never do, so you're not. Right? But if you do, then you'll be. And I think, you know, in the end, all these things come together. If you're Menachem Avel, so then you got a mitzvah d'Rabbanan. But if you did it out of proper motivation for Benom L'Chaveiro, then you got a mitzvah d'Oraisa v'Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. And if you did it out of proper motivation because you want to be more godlike, which is a goal of ours in our lives, you got another mitzvah d'Oraisa of V'Halachta B'Drachav. And so what we think of as all these competing things, and I think in Sefer Bereishis, there are both kinds of mitzvos. There's character traits that we learn about God, and character traits we learn from the Avos, and if we do those, it makes us godlike. There are actions that we learn from God. And I would say in the end, you know, it's funny, when you do Nichum Avelim, I suppose you don't want to do Nichum Avelim because God did Nichum Avelim. You want to do Nichum Avelim because you care for people. But I think if the reason why God did Nichum Avelim is because He cares for people, I don't think God could get the mitzvah of Yerhavta L'Recha Kamocha. He has no rea, He has no peers. But I think if God does Nichum Aveilim and Bikur Cholim because He cares deeply about people, and we do it for that reason, we can get both the Benom L'Chaveiro and the Benom L'Makom part of it, and we can do and we could be at the same time. Hashgach, Mr. Weisel.